This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's
go aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Hubble happy hour. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Las Vegas to Los Angeles, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for making us part of your Thursday morning. I'm excited. Today is the first official day of summer. The summer equinox, the summer solstice, it is here. The doors are sprang wide open for you. Walk through them, feeling the sunlight pour down on you. Enjoy that lake, that pool, that beach. Enjoy that backyard, that freshly cut grass. Enjoy the barbecue, the grill, the porch. Enjoy the deck and steaks and meats and hamburgers and chicken and fish and fishing. Delicious watermelon, delicious fruits, banquets and graduation parties, reunions, birthday parties. Just outdoors, sipping a cold one, watching the fireflies.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's a good time to be alive every summer. And today it begins. And the other part of the summer here on the DA show is this show descends into a next level of weirdness. Not a lot of sports going on from now until Labor Day, which means we've got wienerships. And retrospectives, and old interviews, and best ofs, and Robbie Rosenhaus, and contrived bits. Oh, wait till you see what we got in store for you from now until Labor Day. I am too, Tamika Catchings. I am too. So, coming up this morning, we begin our class reunion series, where we look back on anniversaries of significant championships or moments in sports that are celebrating anniversaries this year. How about the 93 finals? Suns, Bulls, John Paxson's shot, one of the great finals ever. Thunder Dan Marley is going to join us to go back 25 years. Can you believe it's been 25 years since the 93 finals, Jordan versus Barkley? Dan Marley coming up next hour on the show. Also, Jeff Triplett is a golden parachute. Giancarlo Stanton is oinking all over Mraz. There's a hot dog gun crisis in Philadelphia. And could the Spurs be trading away Kawhi Leonard tonight? Plus the passing of a legendary voice of the SEC. There is so much to get to this morning on the show. Any of those topics you want to weigh in on, let's do it. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Good day to be alive. Let's start with the NBA draft. Tonight, the NBA draft. The Phoenix Suns are on the clock. I want to give you my thoughts on the notable parties, the notable players, the notable prospects in tonight's draft. I'm playing word association with you. The word that I think of when I see these draft prospects on the board. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Two-man game is really lethal in the NBA today, and the spacing on the floor. So, you know, having a drag pick and roll off of in transition and having that pick and roll so early in the game is just really crazy because I could pick and pop, and Devin's a threat coming off the pick and roll. So it's going to be pretty hard to guard.
It's a different game. You know, the spacing is a lot different. You know, the speed is a lot different. So I think that, you know, when I first come in, it'll take, you know, a little bit of time. Just like when I came into college, it took a little bit of time to adjust. And, you know, once I get adjusted, I think it's just, you know, playing and learning different concepts about the game and just getting better from there.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was presumed number one pick DeAndre Ayton and then presumed number two pick Marvin Bagley. Here's what I think. DeAndre Ayton, the word I think of, power. 7 feet tall, 260. He explodes to the basket. He does feel like a thinner, but as athletic, maybe more athletic, Shaq. There is, to me, a lot of Joel Embiid in DeAndre Ayton. And when I watch Ayton play, inevitably, I think that guy is going to be a stud at the next level. As I've talked about earlier, I don't think the Suns will pass on Ayton. I don't think the Suns should pass on Ayton. DeAndre Ayton has maturity issues. DeAndre Ayton had a pockmarked past here, getting caught up in the AAU machine from the Bahamas to the States at Arizona, the investigation from the FBI into the NCAA. But at the end of the day, I think DeAndre Ayton is a must pick at number one. And so the Suns go there. You can't argue that. I'm thinking power with DeAndre. When it comes to Marvin Bagley, who many assume will go number two to the Sacramento Kings, the word I think about is fluid. Watching Bagley up close, I went to every game of the ACC tournament. Watching Bagley obviously ball the entire season at Duke, the one thing that stood out was he makes everything look so smooth. Whether it's on the break, stepping out and hitting a deep three, whether it's exploding to the hoop or even a move around the basket, he just looks so fluid. You realize he's 6'11 and go, he moves like a point guard. He moves like a swing player. He moves like a perimeter player. So he perfectly encapsulates what today's NBA wants to be. Length, but fluidity. Length, but polish. The ability to play underneath and outside. And he encapsulates all of that. I like Bagley a lot because it doesn't take long to watch him before you say, yep, that guy looks exactly the way you want an NBA player to look. Now, I think he needs to put on some weight. I think you can see that he's still developing into his body. But I think Bagley, at the end of the day, has so many of the qualities you're looking for, and he makes it look so smooth. I think the Kings got to go with him at number two. At number three, I'm looking at Luka Doncic, the Slovenian teenage superstar, EuroLeague MVP, that wants to date Jennifer Aniston, even though he's 19 and she's 49. Hey, kid, you got good taste. The word that pops up to me when I look at Doncic is swagger. It's really interesting. I think that Doncic now represents the next generation of European prospects that grew up watching Dirk Nowitzki and expecting to be in the NBA. Nowitzki was a pioneer in many ways because we did not have a superstar or a Hall of Famer that was truly a European player. Dirk comes over here and proves that you can fit into the NBA. You can be respected in the NBA. Superstars around the league. respect Dirk's consistency, his toughness, his ability. Before Dirk, American players looked at Euro players and said, soft, can't play with us, not physical, not talented, off-brand cereal, if you will. But I think you're watching Doncic grow up in an era where he goes, I could be Dirk. I could be as good as Dirk. And Doncic has a swagger the same way I think Kristaps Porzingis kind of grew up with NBA culture, with hip-hop, with playing with kids that had aspirations of playing in the NBA, listening to American culture, pop culture, music, watching videos, playing video games. I don't think his game will hurt in translation at all. I think he's got stardom written on him. I really like Doncic. After those three, I worry about almost every guy in this draft. I think those three have a lot of ability. And I think those three have the best chance of being stars. After that, I'm worried. Mo Bamba. The word I think about is wingspan. He's 7 feet tall with a 7'10 wingspan. It's just stupid. But he's limited. When you watch his offensive game, basically it's a bunch of alley-oops or lob passes. He doesn't have much of an offensive game at all. Are you willing to draft a guy in the lottery that is essentially a defensive specialist? But the guy can block anything. He's going to alter a lot of shots. But if he can't play offensively, where would you take him? I look at Trae Young. I think one-dimensional. Really good offense, nothing else. I worry about him and his size getting a shot off at the NBA level. I think of Buddy Hield. Explosive scorer from Oklahoma. But once he got to the NBA, wasn't nearly as explosive. Became a 15-point game per night type of guy. Michael Porter Jr., the word, risk. A back injury that sidelines you for your entire freshman season is not a guy I want to take in the top five. Now, if he falls to a team like the Cavaliers at 8, I think then it's a risk-reward that you're willing to take. Going, if we get a star here, it's worth it. If we go bust, well, hey, we took our shot. But in the top 3 or top 5, I think you want something steadier than that. There are intriguing names, but there's a lot of risk in tonight's NBA draft. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Thoughts on the prospects tonight, the NBA draft, what teams need, what teams should do, hit me up. Also, when we return, Jeff Triplett has been one of the worst, if not the worst, NFL referee for years now. And yet the league keeps giving him a golden parachute. For what? The newest gift to Triplett coming up next. You'll be grossed out because it affects your life. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Happy Thursday to you, everybody. Appreciate you being with us at a fine morning here on the DA Show. Remember, full episodes are available on iTunes. Simply search DA and CBS, and you'll get full episodes there on iTunes, plus the PGP. Also, you should check out full episodes and whatever clips you want to listen to of recent episodes and interviews by going to daoncbs.com. Jeff Triplett is beyond aggravating. Beyond. Jeff Triplett consistently has been the worst referee in the NFL. Never fails. Jeff Triplett botches calls, ruins games, and should have aged out of being an NFL referee years ago. He has consistently graded out on league report cards as the worst ref in the NFL. Jeff Triplett has been known for many massive screw-ups, including blinding Orlando Brown with that penalty flag years ago. Every single season, Jeff Triplett screws something up in the games that he refs. And last year, the NFL finally said, okay, Jeff, you know what? We're going to have you step aside here. They did it quietly, but they finally realized, look, you're the worst referee in the NFL. We need you to go quietly. We need a better ref. He is the worst referee in the NFL. Okay, finally. At the end of last year, they were going to make Triplett retire. Okay, fine. Life is good. We'll be back. NFL fans, rejoice. No more Triplett. He graded out as the worst referee in the league last year. And somehow was given a playoff game. Didn't make any sense. Those playoff games are given to the highest rated refs. He did the Titans-Chiefs game. Do you remember what a cluster that game was from an officiating standpoint? It was never ending bungling. There were six or seven plays that were mind-numbingly bad officiating. Remember when Marcus Mariota fumbled the football and Derek Johnson sacked him and forced the fumble and Triplett blew the play dead immediately, even though replays show that Mariota had fumbled? Remember on Mariota's touchdown pass to himself, the one that was deflected where he caught it and ran it in? Triplett announced that Mariota was eligible because he was in the shotgun. In reality, that was not the case. He was eligible because the ball touched the defensive player. Remember they were trying to figure out where to spot the ball after a long delay, and the announcers are going, I don't understand why this is taking so long. Do you remember there was a Titans first down where the ball was spotted a full 3 yards short of where the play had ended, forcing the Titans to challenge the spot? Do you remember that in that game, Jeff Triplett announced that a Titans penalty was on number 11? Too bad the Titans didn't have a number 11, unless he meant the backup quarterback, Alex Tanny, who was on IR. Do you remember in the final minutes when Derrick Henry was tackled, was down, and one official blew the whistle? But then there was a fumble after the whistle was blown, and they had to replay it because Jeff Triplett didn't know what was going on. That all happened in his final game that they gifted him because he was retiring.
Excuse me, my bad.
The guy is a disaster. And so you might be saying, DA, why are you bringing up Jeff Triplett on June the 21st, 2018? We are done with Jeff Triplett, DA. We're finally out of the woods. It's over. Say goodnight. Oh, no, it's not. It's never over. Because ESPN has announced he will be the official in the broadcast booth on Monday Night Football games now. And you thought you would escape John Gruden. Oh no. Oh, no. It doesn't get that easy for you. ESPN has hired him to be the Monday Night Football official review dude on broadcasts, which doesn't make any sense. Jeff Triplett was one of the worst referees. On his final game, Mike Pereira actually said the officiating was, quote, horrible in that playoff game. Why would we want one of the worst referees to be hired as the guy that reviews other officiating? Unless ESPN's pulling a terrible joke on us. ESPN, though, couldn't want Jeff Triplett to be their guy, right? This is Mike Carey incarnate, but worse. Mike Carey was a good official, a bad announcer. Jeff Triplett's a bad official. Well, let me tell you. Reports are that the NFL, the league, quote, specifically steered ESPN to hire Triplett. Basically, do us this favor. You need to hire Jeff Triplett. Why would ESPN do this? Because ESPN is in a very complicated, sometimes uncomfortable relationship with the NFL. They report on things about the NFL the NFL doesn't want reported on. They report on concussions. They report on domestic violence. They report on owners behaving badly. And they have to do a few make goods because they are also rights holders with the NFL. Why, I ask, does the NFL want Jeff Triplett with a cushy retirement job? Is it because they pushed him out and said, don't worry, we'll hook you up afterwards? Or does he have pictures? Or does he have some dossier? Or does he have blackmail on the NFL, on the commissioner, on owners, or something else? This doesn't make any sense. Jeff Triplett is the worst. And not only is he graded as the worst, he's getting a playoff game as a send-off and now a full-time job on Monday Night Football. Guys, you know when I say I don't trust the NFL? You know when I say I don't trust the commissioner and these 32 owners as far as I can throw them? You know when I say I want to believe the best, but I just can't with these people in charge, the leadership of the NFL? These are the examples why. There is always something shady with the league. Always. Why are we giving Jeff Triplett a cushy job to grade out other officials? I'm sorry, but it's like asking Mraz to grade final exams. I mean, come on. It's like employing Mraz to grade out European history theses. Thesi? It doesn't make any sense.
Ask Sean which one is right. Is it deers or die?
Why would you hire the worst kid in the class to grade out other kids' book reports and papers?
Jacksonville. Was that named after Michael Jackson?
It doesn't make any sense. Jeff Triplett, go away. You're terrible at what you do. It would be as though I'm the worst sports talk host in America, and then some network hired me to put together a list of shows that I thought sounded good. Or hired me to be some type of media consultant. Yeah, that guy's the worst, but we need his advice on things. Jeff Triplett is the worst. And now you've got to listen to him every Monday night. Grayed out other officials. So you think you might be even more confused by the rule book now? Disgusting. Just disgusting. Just indigestion from more NFL nonsense. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, we've got your best audio of the day, including one Major League Baseball pitcher with a bizarre injury in a do-it-yourself-at-home event. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Throwback Thursday here on the DA Show. Thanks for making time for us. Every single morning, it's always very much appreciated. 9 until noon Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio. 9 until 6 until 9 Pacific, rather. Not only on any CBS Sports Radio station in your market, hopefully, that carries us, but also on SiriusXM 206 if they don't carry us. SiriusXM 206. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Paul tweets at me, DA, last night at the game I umpired, a 13-year-old team's coach went ballistic because I didn't call a ball hit off the plate and to the pitcher a foul ball. Blames me for his team losing by 9. I told him, quote, blaming the official is the last stop before Loserville before I got him out. Very proud of you, Paul. Extremely proud.
Get him out.
Using an age-old DA-ism, blaming the officials is the last stop before Loserville. And then also, getting him out.
Get him out.
It's a 13-year-old's game. Coach going ballistic. Team lost by 9. Blaming the officials. Get him out.
Get him out.
Dixieland Dan tweets, wow, DA, Jeff Triplett on Monday Night Football. That's almost like trying to get a washed-up, lazy-ass, undependable Robbie Rosenhaus to do a hot dog eating contest. He's the absolute worst.
I am the epic fail.
Let me just try for a moment to describe diplomatically what is going on. Mraz is very emotional right now about Rosenhaus bailing on Wednesday's Wienership Challenge.
He's Robbie.
He feels blindsided. He feels had. The word he used yesterday on the air was betrayed. Mraz feels betrayed because as a fellow chunky man, he sees the personality dripping out of Rosenhaus. There's natural talent there. Obvious natural talent. But it's been impossible for program directors and other people within this industry to coax the talent out. Mraz had gone from enemy of Rosenhaus to friend, confidant, ally, even mentor. And this was an olive branch to help continue Rosenhaus's ascent at CBS Sports Radio. And Robbie bailed without a good excuse. Just said, I don't like eating hot dogs. No, actually, I don't eat hot dogs. Which seems a little difficult to swallow, part of the pun, because he demolished a quart of ice cream in front of us in studio, plus multiple bagels on a Death by Salsa challenge. Only later that night to annihilate multiple pizzas at Citi Field to wash it down. So, pardon Mraz if he doesn't quite buy that Robbie doesn't, quote, eat hot dogs. So, Mraz, behind the scenes, is steaming. He's not going to say anything on the air because he wants to be diplomatic. I can tell he wants to say the right thing, do the right thing for a fellow chub, but he's steaming. And this week's PGP, it boiled over. Mraz needed to vent. And even after the vent, where he really got wound up, he said, I feel better. I needed to say that. Robbie says he has not listened to the PGP because he's been warned it's bad. It's rough. It's bad. But that's where we are right now, and we are currently in negotiations to find a new competitor for Badlands Booker, against Badlands Booker, for Wednesday's Wienership Challenge. Hopefully we'll have that information coming to you later today, but we don't know. But Robbie has put producer Mraz in a bad spot in that way as well, because Mraz had this whole thing booked and ready to go, and you know what happens when somebody creates more work for Mraz. He gets very angry.
Suck down this hot dog.
I will say that is one thing that both he and Pete the Body Bellotti share in common. If you create more work for them, their heads explode.
Get them out.
They create a resentment and a frustration and an anger that boils over immediately. And Robbie has done this to Mraz, and as a fellow chunkmeister, it has been ugly because he feels, as Mraz says, betrayed. Have you calmed down at all from yesterday?
No. In fact, I'm even more incensed. We won't get into it, but after what we just talked about in the break, I'm agitated. I'm annoyed, and I'm in get me to Friday mode.
It's a disgrace!
You're in a get him out mode when it comes to Robbie.
Get him out. Don't want to see him in here again.
It's time for your best audio of the day. It's sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear.
It's DA Soundcheck.
If you're watching at watchda.com right now on the simulcast, you see me laughing my butt off during that intro because Mraz down the line is talking to my ear, just excoriating Robbie right now, just calling him all types of awful names. I mean, really ugly, terrible, vulgar names.
Get him out.
Really bad. We start with Trae Young, as today's the NBA draft. Tonight's the NBA draft, and he's clearly a smaller guard, but with very good offensive skills at the college level. Where does he fit in the NBA?
I don't think I get I think I get criticized a lot by not being, as tough. But I'm extremely tough-minded, tough player, and so I think being a smaller guard, you got to have those.
You do need those qualities. I worry about Trae Young at the next level, not only because he's slight, 6'2", 180, but also because he's highly one-dimensional, has no defensive ability whatsoever, and it's way easier to get your shot off in college than it is at the next level in the NBA if you are smaller. I worry about Trae Young. I think he's one-dimensional. I think he's also kind of a Buddy Hield 2.0. Brandon Morrow, Cubs pitcher, admits that he's now on the DL with back spasms because he tweaked his back while undressing.
Undressing at my house. So I'm hoping that since it's not like a trauma-induced spasm, like I wasn't throwing a pitch or lifting something or twisting or doing anything, that I just, once my muscles relax, then should be okay.
He says he was taking off his pants and his back spasmed. He said he was at home. He had taken off his shirt and then bent over, I suppose, to take off his pants. And he's now in the 10-day DL. Why does this always happen? Why does it always happen to baseball players all the time? We never get, back spasms from taking off your pants in the NFL. We never get this. We never get he's out because he tripped down the stairs in the NBA. We never get, it's always the weirdest, stupidest injuries ever in Major League Baseball. Ever. What did Ike Davis have? Valley Stream Fever? I mean, that wasn't even a real thing. It's never Valley Stream Fever in the NHL. They cut off their pinkies and just keep playing. So in baseball, you've got weird illnesses, taking off your pants, tripping down the stairs. It never ends.
Undressing.
It never ends. It's always baseball. Ike Davis had Jungle Valley Fever. He was never in the jungle. You can watch 4,000 Nat Geo specials. 1,000,000 Anthony Bourdain specials. Nobody ever gets Jungle Valley Fever, and they're in the jungle. Ike Davis lives in a McMansion in a condo or a condo in some type of suburb, somehow comes down with a jungle virus. It's impossible. Only baseball. And finally, Dan Carcillo, former NHL forward, says the VP of the NHL, Colin Campbell's ignorance on concussions could contribute to serious deaths.
Like, I've wanted to say this for so long. Colin Campbell's son played in the NHL. And he's an exec at the front office that can enact change. So this guy knows he's sitting on his high horse, and he knows that his son, I've given him traumatic brain injuries. He's given me some because we fought a bunch of times. And I'm a father, and I mean, you have to be some kind of psycho to be able to sit there in a position to be able to enact change and diagnose and treat the athletes, your son is playing in the league properly, and you don't want to do it because of money. So you're basically having a hand in killing your son? It's crazy to me. It's crazy.
Extremely harsh words from Dan Carcillo, who played in the NHL and is now being outspoken about CTE, brain trauma, and the injuries to his brain that he suffered when he was playing. That audio courtesy of WFAN in New York. And that's a really powerful point there, that Colin Campbell has sat at the head of the table to create change in the NHL and to be safer about brain injuries, even with a son in the league, and didn't do enough in Carcillo's mind to change that. Really powerful stuff from Carcillo. That is your sound check. Now, Mraz, that was on the show that you produce, CMB, over at WFAN in New York. As a hockey fan, listening to the entirety of Carcillo's interview, which also kind of came on the heels of his Players Tribune piece, what was your takeaway from Carcillo and what he's espousing?
Well, first of all, my initial takeaway was I went from yesterday at this time loving fighting in the NHL to wanting to completely get rid of it.
In 24 hours.
And just hearing Carcillo talk about it. And because the NHL isn't as popular as the NFL, I think a lot of the concussion and player safety stuff isn't talked about. And you realize these guys on skates are just bashing each other's heads in, and the NHL sits back and has their same kind of concussion issues and does nothing. Doesn't even want to hear from the players on it. And you have a guy like Carcillo saying he has all these young kids and he's thought about suicide in that interview. It's scary, man. It's scary. This league has just as many, if not the same issues as or more as the NFL does, and not enough people are talking about it, and nobody in the NHL is doing anything about it.
So why? What did he say? Why did you flip on fighting in just one interview?
Just that's a big part of it. They go out there, drop the gloves, bare knuckle, and they're just pounding each other's heads in, and the refs don't do anything to stop it until they both tire out. And you realize you do that, and if you're one of these fighters, like a Derek Bougard who committed suicide, and that is your job on the ice to do that, and let's say you do it 20 times a year, plus all the natural hitting that goes into it, these are like car crashes every single day. And it's forget just it happening by accident, like it could in the end. Like, it is your job to be in that car crash every day. It's scary stuff.
Yeah, you know, fighting in the NHL is so interesting, and I really do understand both sides. If you listen to the show long enough, you know that I really respect and admire the traditions of sports, and so I don't like silly color rush uniforms. I really like respecting the generations that came before this generation. I really believe in remembering the things that happened before, the players, the coaches, the stadiums, the franchises, the fan bases, all the people that built the sports up to the way that they are. And so I understand the love of hockey fans for fighting because it's always been there. But it's one of the reasons I hate artificial turf. I hate dome stadiums. I just don't believe in them. And it's only because I believe in playing football on grass because that's the way it used to be played, and I just believe it's more natural. So if you're a hockey fan and you believe in fighting, you probably go in some of the same way. It's just the way that it's always been. I don't want to see it out. I'm used to tough guys duking it out on the ice. They've signed up for this. It's the way that it's always been. If you go back to hockey in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, tough guys in a tough sport. And so you go, I don't want this to go away, which I understand. But outside of just being loyal to it because it's there, and I do believe in policing on the ice within the team and from the players and not just the officials, when you really step back and ask, does hockey need fighting? I think the obvious answer is no. Because when I watch Olympic hockey, or even playoff hockey, where there's not nearly as many fights as there are in regular season hockey, you go, this is a better brand of hockey. When you watch the Olympics and it's free-flowing, and it's not fighting, and it's not headhunting, it's really fun to watch, and it can be beautiful. And when you watch in the playoffs where you can't afford to have majors doled out and you can't afford to be in the penalty box for 5 minutes and you can't afford to be fighting on the ice to exact an eye for an eye because somebody got you earlier in the game or somebody got you last month or somebody got your teammate last month, you realize hockey doesn't need it. I know that hockey loyalists are loyal to it. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's necessary for hockey to actually be better. And when you wrap up into it, the CTE, the brain trauma, and what these guys go through after the sport is over for them, I do think that it makes a lot of sense to do away with it. And like I said, I understand in totality wanting something in your sport because it has always been there, and that's what connects you to the roots of it. That's why you got involved in it. That's why you love it. I totally understand that. But in reality, it just feels like the time has come and gone for fighting in hockey, and you know, Carcillo lays out a lot of good reasons for that. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Connect us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Adrian tweets, DA, the most intriguing player in this NBA draft is Trae Young. He could be a stud or a major bust. I don't think he's the most intriguing player. I do think he's got huge bust potential. I don't think Trae Young has Steph Curry potential, which I've heard some people throw out there. Sleight of hand, smaller guy, shoots threes. I don't think he's got that. I don't think he's got this huge ceiling where he could be an MVP like Curry. I even highly doubt he could be an all-star in this league. Could he be a decent offensive contributor? Yeah. I don't think he's got all-star potential. When we come back, last night, Giancarlo Stanton oinked all over Mraz. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.